Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views, and thanks for joining us. I'm your new host, Rob Schofield. There's a war underway in North Carolina over the future of our state courts. Over the past year, Republican lawmakers have taken several controversial steps to dramatically remake the judiciary, from shrinking the Court of Appeals to making all judicial races partisan. Other pending proposals would go further still, including expanding the Supreme Court, dramatically altering the districts in which judges stand for election, forcing all judges to run every 2 years, and even ending the election of judges altogether. Current state representative and former state Court of Appeals judge Joe John of Wake County addressed this controversy at a recent NC Policy Watch luncheon. Our Clayton Hinkle caught up with him after the event.
Well, Representative John, I appreciate you taking a few moments of your time to talk to us about what is perhaps one of the most contentious issues of the legislative session, and that has been a series of proposals that would reshape North Carolina's courts. First of all, I want to get your reaction to much of the legislation that has come through this session that would change a profession that you have been involved in at different levels for 25 years.
25 years as a district court, superior court, and court of appeals judge. I came to the General Assembly last January, and I really didn't expect when I did so that almost immediately I would be thrust into a highly public role as spokesperson or advocate for a constitutionally established, separate, independent, and co-equal branch of government in what appeared then and continues to appear to be an ongoing, what I call, war on an independent judiciary. We've had multiple bills introduced during the session, bills and proposals requiring partisan election of judges at all levels, slashing three judges from the Court of Appeals, refusing to give pay raises to judicial officials, even though every other state employee received an increase, changing the composition of special three-judge panels established to hear constitutional challenges to legislative enactments, proposing changes in the law to reverse rulings by judges in currently pending cases, or to overturn rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court, at least in North Carolina, canceling judicial primaries, thereby forcing judges to run in free-for-all elections with as many, remember the 2014 Court of Appeals election, as many as 19 candidates, and then most recently the ludicrous proposed constitutional amendment to terminate at the end of 2018 the terms of all 403 judges in North Carolina, District Court, Superior Court, Court of Appeals judges, and Supreme Court justices, and to require judicial elections every 2 years thereafter. My reaction, which was your question, to all that is this. There is a clear intent, because the legislative majority has so often grossly overreached, and impartial judges, both at the state and federal level, have properly stepped in and engaged in the checks and balances fully guaranteed and required by both our federal and state constitutions. Because of that, war, as I call it, has been declared, and measure after measure has been introduced seeking to bring the judicial branch of government to partisan heel.
Let's talk in depth about a couple of those bills we want our listeners to be aware of. House Bill 717, this is the proposed judicial redistricting bill. The result of it would be double bunking several incumbent judges. And I know that there is some concern about that, some concern about what it would mean for the diversity on the court, also some concern about what that would mean to folks who have some experience, judges who have experience. So talk a little bit, if you would, about your concerns about House Bill 717.
Twofold concerns. First of all, the bill was proposed almost at the end of the legislative session in May, had not gone through any committees, had not been discussed. Most importantly, no input had been received by the bill sponsor, Representative Burr of Stanley County, from those individuals, the members of the judiciary, and other court personnel who would be directly affected by the bill, by the redistricting. I point out Representative Burr is not an attorney. He's certainly not a judge. In fact, there are only two former judges in all 120 members of the General Assembly who have actually served and spent time doing the work of a judge. So there was no input. There was an outcry as a result of that. And Representative Burr had what I call sham hearings with any number of judges throughout the state, did not change the proposal significantly in any respect, and it ultimately passed the House, and it is pending in the Senate. What you alluded to is the double bunking. More significantly, well, one, the experience is very important in a judge. And if you double bunk, that is, pit one experienced judge against another experienced judge in an election, one of them is going to lose, and you're going to lose the accumulated experience and talent of that particular judge. But more significantly, this bill, through its targeting of African-American and female judges, significantly reduces the diversity on the bench. In district court, 43% of all black African-American district court judges are double bunked. 31% of female district court judges are double bunked. In the Superior Court, 27% of all current Superior Court judges are double bunked, 18% of the black or African-American Superior Court judges, and 17% currently are black and African-American. And when you have double bunked, as I said, one is going to lose. If this bill were to go into effect, the current African-American membership of our judiciary would essentially be cut in half.
Another worrisome proposal that's making its way through the General Assembly, I believe, is Senate Bill 656. This is the bill that would eliminate the judicial primary, and it would set, there would be a constitutional amendment that I believe would reduce the terms of judges to two-year terms, if I've got that correct. You can correct me if I don't. But I guess the concern here is that really, if you have a judge who is only in office, or on the bench, rather, for 2 years, they're constantly going to be worried about how are they going to get reelected. Is that correct?
That is correct. And there are three potential disastrous effects which would result from this particular piece of legislation. One, as you alluded to, judges would be turned into politicians who have to campaign and raise funds constantly. And to me, that perverts the fair and impartial implementation of justice, in appearance, to be sure, and sadly, potentially, in reality as well. Secondly, judicial terms are intentionally staggered so as to prevent all judges from being on the ballot at the same time. Moving all judges to concurrent two-year terms creates the constant threat of massive turnover in our state's judiciary. I mentioned earlier, experience is important in judges, and cases should not be interrupted and mid-trial with a different judge, which could well happen. And then finally, with the passage of the proposed constitutional amendments and the elimination of primaries, election ballots would become extremely lengthy. You would face decisions among an untold number of candidates. I've already mentioned the 19 Court of Appeals candidates in 2014. For every judgeship, lengthy ballots historically, in a common sense, historically mean lower voter participation and at a minimum long wait times and long lines. If I were a conspiracy theorist, I might believe that indirect voter suppression, electoral chaos, and rank confusion are the implicit goals of this legislation. In any event, it's neither conspiratorial nor theoretical to predict such a result with absolute certainty.
We do know that the Senate is pushing a proposal that would move us perhaps toward retention elections, perhaps merit selection, but I guess the devil is in the details. We haven't seen those bills, and there also is some concern that you end up with a judge who feels very beholden to the legislature that has put them in a position of having a career on the bench for life.
You're spot on that. I can envision a, quote, merit selection process which I might, as a legislator, consider favorably. I cannot say, without seeing any proposal, what my position on it might be. You're right. The devil's in the details. And history and tendency of this current legislative majority is to retain and concentrate control in the legislative branch of government. So the strong suspicion at this point is that instead of merit selection, it would be legislative selection, which has all its own particular issues, and that, and the main one being, as you've already suggested, is the sense that the judge, individual judges, owe their positions to the members of the General Assembly.
And connecting the dots again for our listeners, if there is a bill or a piece of legislation that is challenged, whether it's by the governor or by another entity, it could conceivably end up in front of a judge that may feel very beholden to the situation that has been created by the legislative leadership.
And again, a conspiracy theorist or a cynic would suggest that's probably the actually the intent.
There are probably a lot of people who don't deal with the courts on a day-to-day basis. So they may think, well, I don't need to concern myself with this. I don't need to be that worried. They may have served on a jury once, but they're not intimately involved in the day-to-day workings of the court. Why is it so important that people really pay attention to this series of bills that you, I believe, have called legislation by ambush?
You may not realize it, but decisions made in the judicial branch of government frequently affect each and every one of us in our daily lives. Something as simple as a traffic citation. There are certain traffic citations, depending on the amount of charged in excess of the posted limit, that require a court appearance. You're not a criminal. Most of us probably have been guilty of speeding one or more times in our lifetime. And you want and you expect and anticipate that the judge hearing that matter will be fair, objective, and impartial, and will not be influenced by whether or not you may be registered in one to vote in one political party or another, whether you may be an official in one political party or another, whether you may be a prominent or non-prominent person in the community, and so forth. So we all have the potential to appear in court. And when we do, we absolutely want, and we have every right to expect, that the judge before whom we appear will view our case separately, independently, impartially, and objectively.
And Representative John, this will be back in front of you and other legislators come January.
That's correct. We'll see what happens then. Both of these bills we're talking about, one is initiated in the Senate, that is the constitutional amendment. One has passed the House, the redistricting bill. I voted against it. It's also pending in the Senate. So the initiative on both of these matters is going to come from the Senate, and we'll just have to wait and see what direction they decide to go in.
Up next, a look at a new initiative in the North Carolina General Assembly to overhaul how we fund public schools. Stay tuned.